On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, yes, you are, and I'm already out of breath, and the show just started. We have got a boatload for you today. Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this Wednesday, the 27th day of June. No, I didn't forget the month. Year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and you want to... We have hours and hours and hours of news that has broken within the last couple of hours. And within the last hour, we found out what a lot of people have been speculating about, and that is that Justice Anthony Kennedy has turned in his retirement papers from the United States Supreme Court. So Anthony Kennedy is 81 years of age, long considered to be the swing vote. That's what they say about him, the swing vote in the Supreme Court. But kind of. I mean, so now President Trump is going to get his second round of a second Supreme Court nominee to put before the U.S. Senate. And that is also, all of a sudden, the timing of this is very, very important. Because I'll get back to his voting record in just a minute, because I think he's more conservative than he is moderate. They call him the moderate, but he's not way righty, but he certainly hangs out on the right side of the political aisle, no question about it. So look, the Senate has already said, Mitch McConnell has already announced, they're not going anywhere for an August vacation this year because of a lot of different things that they have on their plate. And so as a result, they are not taking their August break, which means that the president has already come out and said he wants to get this done before the midterm elections. And what's really critical as far as timing goes, man, the Democrats are having a bad day today. I'll tell you, they are having a bad day. We'll get to a Supreme Court ruling. We'll get to a New York congressional race. We'll get to a lot of things that Democrats are having a bad day. But this is the Democrats don't really have any power to interfere with a nominee to the Supreme Court. Because when it comes to nominees for the Supreme Court, the filibuster rule does not apply, which means all you need is 50 votes, and the Republicans have 51 Republicans, then throw in Vice President Pence in case of a tie, and maybe Heidi Heitkamp, maybe some of the Joe Manchin, some of the Democrats that are in... races in states that are very pro-Trump states. So you might get a couple Democrats to come over as well. We don't know who he's going to nominate, obviously. In fact, the White House has said they're very surprised by this news, which I find surprising, because I would think that somebody in the White House would have been working on what to do when Kennedy retires, because everybody and their brother was the rumor mill was pretty loud that he was going to be retiring soon. So today is the last day of the Supreme Court session for this year, or for this session, I should say, that started late last year and goes till June of this year. And at 81 years of age, and he appears to be in good health, and the man is saying, I'm done. That it's time for him to go. And he also is smart because he's looking at the calendar and going, okay, this November election, the House looks like there's a good chance that Democrats could take control of the House, but the House doesn't count when it comes to the Supreme Court. Only the Senate needs to give affirmation and consent. So the Senate, even though it is barely in control by the Republican Party, you never know what's going to happen. There are lots of people handicapping the Senate races and saying that the Republicans actually might pick up a couple, two or three more Republicans for the Senate. But again, until you get to 60, you don't have total control. But for Supreme Court justices, all you need is 50. So Justice Kennedy is looking at this and going, well, the Senate could change control on the midterms, and that would mean in January when the Congress comes back into the new session, it could be Democrats running the Senate. If so, then a Republican conservative justice nominee would not get through. And even further, if you go to Judge Garland, whose nomination by President Obama was just held in limbo, if the Democrats know that they have control of the Senate, they could hold the seat open until a Democrat is elected president in 2020, if they could hold it up to see what would happen then. So it's clear he wants to go now, and part of it is obviously strategizing about the calendar and saying, I want to go while President Trump can appoint a Republican nominee to a Republican-controlled Senate that doesn't have any way for the Democrats to stop the Republicans from going along with the nomination. There could be some parliamentary procedures done by Jeff Flake or other disgruntled Republicans that are going out of office to try and hold up everything. But at this particular time, it looks like President Trump is going to have a clean slate to move forward. So then you look at the candidates and what the president has said so far is they have the list that they came up with when President Trump was running. They updated the list when Justice Gorsuch became a Supreme Court judge. And I'm looking at the list, and I think even though the president said in the Oval Office just a little while ago that, oh, you'll recognize a lot of these names, I don't think so. But I could read you some names, but I don't think you're going to know who these people are. Brett Kavanaugh is in the D.C. Circuit Court. Tom Hardiman, Third Circuit Court of Appeals. Don Willett, Fifth Circuit. Ray Kethledge, Sixth Circuit. Two justices appointed by President Trump, Joan Larson and Amol Thapar, in the Sixth Circuit. So I could bore you with these names, but like I said, I don't think anybody knows who these people are. I see Meg Ryan on here, so I didn't know the Hollywood starlet was, she's in the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. But other than that, I'm looking at this list and going, I don't know who these people are. I'm looking down some of the state Supreme Courts. Don't recognize one of them. The only one on the list that might be a name you would know would be Senator Mike Lee from Utah. He has expressed a desire if there was an opportunity to be a Supreme Court justice. The other guy that's been talked about before, and he's running for re-election right now in Texas, is Ted Cruz. So, and that's apparently he's in a decent dogfight in Texas on that, so they don't want to upset that and take him out of the Texas race. So the rest of them are basically names that are highly thought of justices in the United States Courts of Appeal, some of them from state Supreme Courts, only one from a district court, federal district court, and that'd be Judge Federico Moreno, who is a Southern District of Florida. So there's there's that, which what this does, and this is why the Democrats are having a bad day, what this does is it changes the balance in the court. Because when Justice Gorsuch was brought up from appellate court level to the Supreme Court, he was replacing Judge Scalia. So President Trump replaced a conservative with a conservative. But Justice Kennedy is the swing vote. And even though he has been mostly conservative, he did vote supporting affirmative action. He supported Roe v. Wade, the abortion case. He has been a big supporter of gay rights. He was. So from that standpoint, there's some things that he has done that you would think would be something from the left side of the bench. The right side of the bench, he was the guy who voted in Bush-Gore that made President Bush president. He also is not only the guy who voted but wrote the opinion on Citizens United, so which basically changed the election, deregulated elections in this country so that corporate money could get involved there. So it will change the court's uncertainty on some of these cases that come before them, because you know President Trump is going to appoint a true blue conservative. You never know how that's going to turn out. Some of them have been appointed by Republican judges, presidents, as conservative judges, and they don't turn out to be so conservative. But he's going to have a shot at doing so. So at this point, this again goes back to why many of us pulled the vote in favor of Donald Trump, because we were voting for the person who was more likely to appoint a Supreme Court justice that was more conservative than liberal. So at this point, I don't know what you make of this whole thing, but I think this is going to change the court to be even more conservative for the foreseeable future. Phone number here is 855-295-6600, but they have to get this done and get it done fairly quickly so it's all taken care of in case Republicans lose the Senate. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
All right, so Justice Anthony Kennedy, Tony Kennedy, as he's known to his friends, retiring from the Supreme Court. This opens up President Trump's opportunity to appoint a second justice, and you got to wonder, these names, I don't know who they are. I don't know if you know who they are, but the Republicans have a pretty clear slate here to get whoever the president wants. He's already given out a list. He says he's going to work from that list. Yet, I don't know. There are probably some ways the Democrats can try and stop. Chuck Schumer has taken the floor of the U.S. Senate and is trying to appeal for having some sort of voice by the Democrats. Let's listen.
The most important Supreme Court vacancy for this country in at least a generation. Nothing less than the fate of our health care system, reproductive rights for women, and countless other protections for middle-class Americans are at stake. Will Republicans and President Trump nominate and vote for someone who will preserve protections for people with pre-existing conditions? Or will they support a justice who will put health insurance companies over patients, or put the federal government between a woman and her doctor? The Senate should reject, on a bipartisan basis, any justice who would overturn Roe v. Wade or undermine key health care protections. The Senate should reject anyone who will instinctively side with powerful special interests over the interests of average Americans. Our Republican colleagues in the Senate should follow the rule they set in 2016, not to consider a Supreme Court justice in an election year. Senator McConnell would tell anyone who listened that the Senate had the right to advise and consent, and that was every bit as important as the president's right to nominate.
All right, so you can hear the majority or minority leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, saying, "Okay, well, let's not have any nominations in an election year because remember, he's mixing apples and oranges here. What that was about Merrick Garland and the fact that Merrick Garland, Merrick Garland, thank you, was nominated by President Obama in the final months of the Obama administration, where we were going to be changing presidents because the second-term president can't run again. So we knew we were going to have another president, and Senator McConnell said we're just going to hold off until we find out who the new president is. Could have been Hillary. Could have been Trump. At that point, they didn't know, but they were willing to roll the dice. Now, Schumer is trying to say that this is an election year. Yes, it's an off-year, midterm election year, but that's not the same as it was in the final year of President Obama's term. What's your reaction? Phone number is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. Tom, thanks for waiting. Welcome. What do you make of all this breaking news?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Well, it's amazing. Things in the last few days have been pretty amazing. But I just think that Mueller has to charge Trump. That's the only way they're going to stop him. And he has two problems. Now this Supreme Court thing hit everybody by surprise. But also, too, if Trump is not charged, then everybody in the FBI and the DOJ is fired. So now this just adds another layer to it. Mueller has to charge Trump, and I predict he will.
Well, we don't know, do we? We have no idea what he has up his sleeve.
Well, I mean, yeah, we don't. I don't have a crystal ball, obviously, but I'm just saying that's the only way they can stop him is to charge him. If they can charge him, then they possibly can stop him from succeeding with this new.
I don't know how you can stop him. I really don't.
Well,
because if you think about it, if the Democrats take control of the House, or even they take control of the House and the Senate, you cannot have a conviction unless there's 60 people that vote for the conviction to throw a president out. That's why we've never had one thrown out. I don't see the math.
Yeah,
I don't see how you get there.
I understand that. I do. And I'm not saying, I mean, by the only way they can stop him, that's the only card they have. If they can convince the public that he's created some sort of major conspiracy against
all he's got to do is say, I'm nominating Joe Blow, and the Supreme or the Senate would take it from there, and they're the ones who say yay or nay. But, Tom, I got to run, but thank you.
Primetime, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
Primetime it is. We got a lot of Supreme Court today in more ways than one, because today was the last session for the Supreme Court during this cycle. And then at the end of it, apparently the president was in the Oval Office with the president of Portugal. So the media was allowed in to listen to a spray, if you will. And the president was talking about the fact that Kennedy came over to the White House about an hour before and spent about a half an hour with the president, talking to him and sharing various thoughts. But he said, I don't want to tell you who we were talking about or anything else. In other words, here are some names that I kind of recommend. When you look at Kennedy, he's been on the right side on all the issues so far Supreme Court announced this year. Public unions, which we'll get to, travel ban upheld. Crisis pregnancy centers don't have to give abortion information. States can force online retailers to collect sales tax. and states can purge inactive voters. So he was on all of those. Here's a little bit of the spray from the Oval Office that was within the last hour.
He's a man that I've known for a long time and a man that I've respected for a long time. He's been a great justice of the Supreme Court. He is a man who is displaying great vision. He's displayed tremendous vision and tremendous heart. And he will be missed, but he will be retiring. And we will begin our search for a new justice of the United States Supreme Court that will begin immediately. And hopefully we're going to pick somebody who will be as outstanding. So I just want to thank Justice Kennedy for the years of tremendous service. He's a very spectacular man, really a spectacular man. And I know that he will be around hopefully for a long time to advise, and I believe he's going to be teaching and doing other things. So thank you to Justice Kennedy.
Yeah, so he went on to talk about the fact they were asking him, well, who are you going to appoint? And he says he has a list. The president said he has a list of 25 potential Supreme Court judge nominees.
Well, we have numerous people. We have a list of 25 people that I actually had during my election. I had to 20, and as you know, I added five a little while ago. We have a very excellent list of great talented, highly educated, highly intelligent, hopefully tremendous people. I think the list is very outstanding. When I was running, I put down a list of 20 people because, not being a politician, I think people wanted to hear what some of my choices may be, and it was pretty effective. And I think you see the kind of quality that we're looking at when you look at that list. But I added five additional people to the list. So it will be somebody from that list. So we have now boiled it down to about 25 people.
Yeah, so he's got his list going, and then kind of gave the media a little bit of the fact that he had Justice Kennedy came over to the White House, and then the media did not know about it. So this is a little more from the Oval Office spread.
When did you learn that Justice Kennedy?
About a half hour ago.
Were you surprised?
He came to the White House. We had a wonderful discussion just prior to meeting the president, and really had a very deep discussion. I got his ideas on things, including I asked him if he had certain people that he had great respect for that potentially could take his seat, which is a very hard seat to fill. So we talked about different things, and he was here for about a half an hour. I don't think you folks saw him come in and out, did you? I'm shocked. Boy, they've done a great job. That's a shocker. That's a shocker. But yeah, we had he just left a little while ago, just prior to meeting the president.
Will you tell us who he recommended?
No, I won't do that, but he has, you know, there are certain names that are just outstanding. Names that you already know, to be honest with you. I mean, there are names that you know that are outstanding, highly respected, names that you would know, President. And we'll be looking at them, we'll be looking at some others, but they will come from the list of 25 people.
So, I don't know the names. I maybe you do. Maybe I'm the one who doesn't know. But I think when you look at the list, you go, I don't know who these people are. But he's got his list of 25 names. And so now the race is on. Now they have to get this done. And they have to get it done ASAP. There's no question. This has to be... through the Senate, first get the nomination, then the Senate has to go through their procedure, then they have the hearings, then they'll beat them up on this, that, and everything else, whoever the nominee is, he or she, and then turn it around and then have the Senate vote on advise and consent. So you never know what they find. When you look at prior presidents, they've run into some roadblocks. They had I can't remember the names of them. There was one guy, I want to say it was a Clinton-era guy, who admitted that he, when he was a young man, he had smoked pot. That was it. He was out. Kimba Woods, who is now the judge on the Michael Cohen case, was a Supreme Court nominee, and she was tossed out because of the fact that an investigator in vetting her found that she had somebody working for her for which she did not pay payroll taxes. And, I mean, that's the kind of thing that upset smoking pot, not paying payroll taxes. Those are the kinds of things that upset Supreme Court nominees in the past. And I doubt that would be an issue that would bounce somebody today, but you don't know what they find. And the Democrats are going to work as hard as they can to do two things. One is to find some dirt on whoever the nominee is. So the nominee had better be a squeaky clean person, because they're going to go back to their childhood and find anything and everything they've ever done wrong. And the other thing the Democrats can only do is to go after a Republican senator and try and take Bob Corker, Jeff Flake, some of these senators that are leaving, John McCain. We don't know. We haven't heard much about how John McCain's doing. But all of those, if you can get a couple of them to not vote in favor of whoever the nominee will be, you can stop this. So they're going to have to try to get some Republicans to bail. And there's a couple of them that are, like I said, Corker and Flake. You want to believe that they will do whatever they think is right, but there's also an animus against Donald Trump, in which before they go out the door, they may want to throw a wrench into the works. So that's all the Democrats can do. Find some huge thing to stop a nominee because they found out that he or she cheated on the fourth grade math test or something. Or find a couple of Republicans that they can get to throw a wrench into the works to stop the process. Because this has got to go fairly fast. So I presume since President Trump has his list, I would think that somebody in the White House, namely the legal counsel, is already working on shepherding a super vetting program on whoever's on that list so they can find out who they want to nominate. So when we come back, let's talk more about the Supreme Court, but not about Justice Kennedy. They have ruled a huge hit to public labor unions based on their decision today. We'll be right back and go over that. Stick around. Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
James Hughes sends me a tweet and says, Supreme Court was one of the main reasons I voted for President Trump. Me too, James. And I'm right there with you. By the way, you want to hear something kind of quaint about all of this? Kennedy was nominated by President Reagan in 1987 and was confirmed November of 87 and nominated Supreme Court. And it was, that was after Reagan had nominated Robert Bork, who was very highly thought of justice, but Ted Kennedy ran a campaign against him. So Bork never made it to the Supreme Court, and instead Kennedy was his, I think, second or third pick. Doug Ginsburg. This is the guy who was withdrew his name from consideration after admitting to marijuana use, and then Kennedy was the third pick by Reagan, and they did a thorough investigation of his background, and he easily passed it, and then he went on to be unanimously approved by the U.S. Senate. unanimous. I mean, you don't see unanimous anymore out there. But that was, yeah, he was the third pick. So Doug Ginsburg, that's right. That's the guy who, he smoked pot. That's it. You can't be a Supreme Court justice. And Bork was just a political hit because Bork was a big conservative and Ted Kennedy was not. So he went after him. Kennedy started off private practice in San Francisco. His father died and had a law office in Sacramento. And so Tony Kennedy moved to Sacramento where he was from, took over his father's law practice until 1975. Then he taught at McGeorge School of Law. He was in the Army. He was President Ford. Gerald Ford nominated Kennedy to the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals based upon Ronald Reagan, who was the former governor of California, had lost out to Ford in the presidential sweepstakes of 76. But he... Ford was president in from the time that Nixon resigned in 74. That's right. So it was between 74 and 76. Gerald Ford was president. He nominated Kennedy to the Court of Appeals, Ninth Circuit, based upon Reagan's recommendation, Citizen Reagan. And then Reagan went on when he became president to elevate him up to the Supreme Court. So, interesting man. Met him once. Don't know him. All was very gracious, very nice, now retiring at 81. By the way, his effective date of retiring, he gave 1 month's notice, July 31st. He is out. All right. The other huge news that I was going to start with today is the Supreme Court ruled on a case called Janus. Mr. Janus is an employee of the state of Illinois. And Mr. Janus said, I don't want to have to be forced to pay union dues to the union that represents Illinois government workers. And so it's Janus v. AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees, saying, I don't want to have to pay those dues. And he brought it all the way to the Supreme Court. And the court ruled 5-4 that at the heart of Janus was the question of whether or not unions can forcibly extract dues from workers' paychecks without the worker proactively volunteering to contribute. So what this does, and in parallel to that, the court had to determine whether or not those extracted fees being put toward lobbying efforts constituted involuntary political speech on the part of the employee, and the ruling said, yes, it does. It is involuntary political speech, and at the same time, it forcibly extracted union dues from people who did not want to be part of the union. So I look at unions in America are down to about 6% of the private sector. I think it's 13% of the total employee base of the United States. And the only reason it's so much bigger than the private sector is because of the fact that a massive percentage of government employees are represented by government unions. So this gets into this answers the question. And by the way, this happened in Wisconsin, where Governor Scott Walker got the law changed in Wisconsin to where you cannot force a Wisconsin state employee to pay union dues into the union that represents Wisconsin employees. As a result of that, about one-third of the membership state employees union in Wisconsin bailed and said, I'm not paying. I don't want to be part of your union. So this is going to be a massive financial hit if other government employees do what they did in Wisconsin. And I would be curious for those of you that work for government, what are you going to do now that you do not have to belong? On the other hand, even though the court ruled, I've always thought they need to separate people into a collective bargaining unit and those who don't want to be part of the union. Because the union says, all right, you give us, in this particular case, this guy from Illinois spent over $500 a year on union dues. So part of that went to their efforts in collective bargaining. Part of it went to their efforts as far as lobbying or supporting candidates for office or issues that were political. And most unions are democratically leaning. So if you're not a democratically leaning person, why should they force you to give them money so they can spend it on things that you don't believe in? On the other hand, I truly believe it's unfair for you to sit there in a government job and have the union negotiate your pay and benefits for you, and you don't pay them a dime because you're getting the benefits of their collective bargaining efforts. So my big idea is, you don't want to be part of the union? Fine. Then you're not part of collective bargaining. Fine. So you go into your boss, like the rest of us do, and negotiate your own salary and benefits. It works for millions and millions of people in this country. So if you work for government, what do you make of this? Are you going to be continuing to pay union dues now that you don't have to? We'll be right back.